You begin finding in your Bibles Romans chapter 16 this morning. And every year during this time, Southern Baptists take up a very special offering called the Lottie Moon offering. It is dedicated to carrying and proclaiming the gospel across our seas. This week of prayer and special offering for Christ's cause is dedicated to the memory of a very noble woman. And perhaps you're wondering, who was she? Why do we take this special offering in her name? Because if you've been Southern Baptist for any length of time, you know we've been doing this for forever. And if you've never heard of this woman or never known her life story, you're going to hear that from the pulpit today. So you have your Bibles open to Romans chapter 16, and if you would please rise as we honor God with the reading of His Word. And the Word of our Lord says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many and of myself also. Father God, I can think of no greater honor for any one of us who know Christ as our Lord and Savior than to be used for your glory. Oh Lord, so often in our humanness, we forget that the purpose of life, the sole purpose of life, is to come to know Christ as our Savior and then to be a soul winner, bringing souls to Christ. Lord, all up and down this valley today, there are souls that are perishing, for they know not Christ. Lord, what's needed today is for men and women to be used for the glory of God, to bring people, souls, to Jesus Christ, that they might enjoy the glories of heaven. Oh Lord, would you bring us anew, a fresh meaning of what it means to be used for your glory from the less life story this morning. In Christ's name I pray. And all of God's people said, Amen. Well, who was Lottie Moon? And why is it that we are called, that God has asked us to give to an offering that bears her name? Well, I think we got to remember that from the beginning of God's Word, the beginning of Christian history, there have been noble men and women who have been used mightily of God. And our text this morning directs us, reminds us of this fact. You see, when Paul wrote to the church at Rome, he named a special woman whom God used for His glory. Now, I can think of nothing better in all of life. There's no trophy you could win. There's no game you could win. There's nothing that you could do that would be better than this, to be able to look into the face of Jesus when you see Him and say, thank you, Jesus, for using me for your glory. Oh, how many of you want to hear those words? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I don't know if Lottie Moon felt that way, but I can tell you God used this dear saint for His glory. Did you know that Lottie Moon was born right here in the great state, the great Commonwealth of Virginia? She was born in 1840, near Monticello, which is the home of Thomas Jefferson over there in Albemarle County. The county seat of Albemarle County is Charlottesville, Virginia. And that's where Lottie Moon went to school. Now, there was in her school at the time that she was there a professor who was also a pastor of the Baptist Church. His name was John A. Broaddus, who later became president of Southern Seminary. The year was 1859 when John Broaddus shared the life-changing message of Jesus Christ with a little girl who with by the name of Lottie Moon. And see, that was the year that Lottie Moon gave her heart and her soul and her faith and put her trust in that blood-bought cross that Eliza just sang about. She became a little Christian girl. And she was baptized by Pastor Broaddus. And oh, I can tell you, there's no greater joy than to be in those waters of baptism and to see someone get baptized. But upon her graduation from school, she did what many people here in our congregation did. She became a teacher. And in February of 1873, she was living and teaching in a girls' school in Cartersville, Georgia. While she was there, it was during that time at an associational meeting that the pastor of Cartersville heard a burning and a flaming address about missions. I don't know if you've got a heart for missions. I hope that you do. But that pastor's name was Dr. R.B. Hedden. And when he heard that speaker speak about missions, his heart became aflame with Holy Spirit conviction, and he stood up and proposed that the pastors and the deacons who were at that associational meeting covenant together to get on their knees before Almighty God and to pray for missions the world over. And for every association pastor to go back to their church and to preach on missions to their respective congregation the following Sunday. True to his promise, Dr. R.B. Hedden stood in his church there in Cartersville, Georgia, and delivered an impassioned appeal on the text, "Lift up your eyes and look, the fields are white unto harvest." And he concluded that message with an invitation for volunteers to go into missions, and to the surprise of the congregation there in Cartersville, Georgia, down the aisle came both of their teachers in the girls' school, Miss Lottie Moon and Miss Safford, offering themselves to Almighty God as missionaries to go to China. And by Christmas of 1873, Lottie Moon was in Shandong, the great northern province of China, located in Tingchao, the center of Baptist educational work in China. And do you know that Lottie Moon lived there for the next 40 years of her life as a missionary, giving herself away for the glory of God? Her greatest work was about 115 miles away in a section of the place called Pingtu. Fearless and alone, she made her way 115 miles to work among the Chinese at Pingtu. She had such a heart for God. She had such a heart for mission. She had such a heart for souls that she became the conduit, if you will, that channel of blessing that God used to start a great revival among the Chinese. And there were won souls to Christ among the Chinese, among the Pingtu Chinese. Thousands and thousands of them came to know Jesus Christ because a little girl was willing to be a missionary, to be used for the glory of God. In Tingchao, a little home they called the Little House at the Crossroads, There Lottie lived for over 40 years. Giving herself away to Jesus, teaching girls, women, and others of the way of the Lord. You know, the more I looked into Lottie Moon's life, the more I became astonished. I could never imagine some of the things I read as I studied her life story. For example, in the Civil War that brought China to a republic under the generalship and presidency of Sun Yat-sen, in that year, Ting Chau, where she lived, was on the battle line, and a cannonball burst through her little house. It knocked off a corner, creating two huge gaping holes in it, and yet she wasn't bothered by it at all. Didn't faze her that she was in the middle of artillery fire. Friends, with cannons roaring and bullets flying, with her home already having been bombarded by an artillery shell, she went to bed and she slept peacefully all the night long. I wonder how many of us would do that. Or would we worry about getting hit again? Or how many of us say, hey, we better get up on out of here? Those who knew her said God's servant went to bed and she slept peacefully all the night long. You see, this little servant girl of God knew what God had written in his word. And this is what God has written. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. Now, friends, we may have read that scripture. We may know the truth of those comforting words, but do we live them out as Lottie did? What an amazing testimony that is to the sustaining power of God that God has for servants wherever he placed them. And by the way, do you know why you're still living today? Because God is not through with you yet. As long as we have life and breath, God wants to use us for his glory. And when we get home, when we leave, are we going to have people talking about what we did? How God used us? What are people going to say about you when you're gone? What are you going to leave behind? What's your legacy that Brother Brandon spoke about this morning? What's the legacy you will leave behind when you are gone? Have you ever thought about it? Whose glory are you running for? Who are you seeking to lift up in your life? You know, I remember reading something by Dr. Criswell. Something he wrote about a great Christian in the days of World War II who in the middle of the Blitz lay herself down and peacefully went to sleep. And somebody said, with these bombs bursting and shrapnel slaying and bullets whizzing and dive bombers overhead and London afire, how can you sleep? And that dear woman replied, well, I believe in God. And he says that he watches over his own and that he guards his children. He who guards his children will neither slumber nor sleep. And so she looked at the person who asked the question and she said, and so I just decided there's no need for both of us to stay awake. So I just went to sleep. Isn't that great? Now, if you're prone to fretting and worrying and staying up all night long, how many of you know this? God works 24/7, 365 days a year. And by the way, you're carrying burdens you were never meant to carry. Do you not know what the scripture said? Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Let it go and lay yourself down and sleep. God is on the throne. And he's on your throne and he's on my throne because you're still here and God wants to use you, church, for his glory. Well, that was Lottie Moon. In the days of her youth as a student, there was a young, brilliant professor scholar who fell in love with her. And as the days passed, her heart was moved in love toward him. And while she was over there in China as a missionary, in their riding back and forth, it was decided that they was going to get hitched. They was going to get married. And this young, brilliant professor went to Germany to study. And he was introduced there to the world of higher criticism and German rationalism. And he came back to America to be a pastor or a professor in the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. He was there at the exact time when James P. Boyce was the school's first president, and there was there in that school a certain pastor professor by the name of Dr. John A. Broadus. You don't think God works? The very man who had earlier been used by Almighty God to lead Lottie Moon to come to know Jesus Christ as her personal Lord and Savior. He had baptized her, and he's now at that college. And there came that man that Lottie Moon was to marry. His name was Crawford H. Toy. They'd already had a wedding date set. And it was agreed that he would come to the Orient, and they would be missionaries together there. But remember, while over there in Germany, he'd been introduced to higher criticism and German rationalism. That system of thought, friends, believes the Old Testament is nothing but allegories, myths, and legends. It was said that Dr. Toy was one of the brightest young men, young Southern men, Southern Baptist men that had ever been produced. But Dr. Toy came back and he began to teach what he had learned in Germany. He began to teach the damnable heresies of higher criticism and German rationalism there in the seminary. And Dr. Boyce and Dr. Broder said, it's not happening. We aren't going to tolerate such blasphemy. They called him into their offices and they said, in effect, you cannot doubt that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. You cannot cast aspersion upon the Bible, the revelation of the Word of God, and remain a teacher in our seminary. We'll take your resignation, son. You are gone. Now, friends, we are living in a day where many people do not want to accept this word that I have preached from for the last 6 years, this word that Pastor Brandon stands and preaches to you. They do not want to accept it as the living word, the inspired Word of God. So I've got a question for you this morning. Do you accept it that way? Now be very careful before you give a quick church answer, because God already knows your heart. He knows what you believe. He knows how you respond to His Word. See, I want to tell you about Dr. Toy. There was a time when Crawford Toy did, when he accepted it. But then he began to listen to the wisdom of men instead of the wisdom of God. Mistake number one. And what took place in his heart and in his mind was exactly what Paul wrote to Timothy about. Now, the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. And Dr. Toy, the man who was to marry Lottie Moon, left that seminary there in Louisville. And he went to teach that damnable heresy at the Harvard Divinity School, which was Unitarian. He left his Southern Baptist roots and joined the Unitarian Church. And then finally, because he'd made the choice to turn away from the truth of God's Word, he walked away from his faith and he left the church completely. He left Christ completely. Now, for the past 6 years, I have warned you that you make certain whoever stands in this pulpit and preaches to you from the inspired Word of God. And as I will soon be gone, I will share with you what I have shared with you at various points throughout my ministry here. The most important responsibility you as a member of this church have is to protect your pulpit. And the only way you can do that is if you know what God's Word says, which means you better be an avid student of the Word of God. You better know what God has said, why He said it. You better act on it, and you better believe it. It is said that Dr. Boyce took Crawford Toy to the train station when he left Louisville. And Dr. Boyce put his right arm around Dr. Toy, and he raised his left arm around Dr. Toy, and he raised his right hand up to heaven. And he said, "Crawford, I would give my right arm if you were as you were when you first came to Christ and to our seminary." That was the man that Lottie Moon was going to marry. A date had been set. And yet in their writing back and forth, Lottie Moon began to find in the letters of Crawford H. Toy the attitude of what he learned and the attitude that he now held toward the Word of God. And she finally wrote to him. And this is what she said. "Over here in my missionary work, I have learned to lean upon the Word of God. It is my strength and staff and stay. Nor could I ever be happy in my heart wedded to a man who did not believe God's book." And she broke it off. And she wrote to her family, "There won't be a wedding." And she lived the rest of her life as Miss Lottie Moon. And years later, an older woman, when somebody asked her about it, she replied that it was a choice between my Lord and my wedding. And I was committed to my Lord. Now, praise God. There is a lesson in there for all of our young people today. You see, now it's just my opinion. And you know what opinions are worth. I'm going to give it anyway. Y'all know I'm a shy person. I think sometimes too many people today are too worried about getting married and not enough concerned about whether the person they're going to marry loves Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, ladies, I want you to know something. If your man does not love Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, he's never going to be able to love you like he should. And dear woman, dear man, that woman, if she doesn't love Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior, she'll never be enough for you. She'll never love you like she should. You see, our love comes from Christ. And we better make certain, because, you know, people when they get married, and because Randy's got grandchildren, we know that this morning, amen? We're going to have babies. What happens if one of those spouses doesn't love the Lord Jesus Christ? You're going to have problems all the rest of your life. I wonder if we love Christ as much as we should, we be marrying like we do, would the divorce rate be so high? Now, that's just my opinion. Y'all know I'm shy, and I'll move on. But I do want to say thank God for a woman who took a stand and lived by her theological convictions. She lived for Jesus. Friends, in the latter part of 1911, great difficulties came into the work of the Southern Baptist Foreign Mission Board. They were now greatly in debt, and this despite one of the most noblest efforts for missions the world ever saw. In 1888, Miss Lottie Moon wrote an appeal to the women of the South, of the women of Southern Baptist churches, and she appealed to them with a letter just basically asking them to organize in support of foreign missions. And in May 1888, the Southern Baptist Convention met in Richmond, Virginia, and there at that meeting they organized what we all now know as the WMU, the Women's Missionary Organization, Women's Missionary Union of the Southern Baptist Convention. And in keeping with an appeal of Lottie Moon for desperate need and supporting the work there in China, there was that Christmas of 1888, the first foreign mission offering taken up by the Southern Baptist WMU. Their goal was the $2,000, and to the amazement of everybody, do you know how much they raised? $3,000. And it went to China to help in the work Lottie Moon had made so urgent an appeal for. But despite those appeals and the work that was going on back here in the States, Southern Baptists forgot all about it. Now, ain't that just like us? Now we know up and down this valley there's loss. Amen? We know in Lebanon and in Russell County there's lost souls that need Christ. They're going to miss Christmas because they don't have Christ. And while we may talk about it, we don't do anything about it. We need to maybe get a little light under our feet or a little fire under our you know what and start getting up and down the valley telling people about Jesus. You see, in church we come to celebrate what God is doing. But during the week, we get out and we be His hands and His feet in our community so we can show our world what God is doing. And we give. Well, every Christmas we take up this offering. Been doing it since 1888. But the people forgot. And the Foreign Mission Board went progressively more and more into debt as they continued to try to support the work that was already launched, but the money wasn't there. And as the board went heavier and heavier into debt, a severe famine came, and it occurred in North China that swept through Pingtu. The Christians of Pingtu began to die by the thousands. And Lottie Moon, who was then approaching 72 years of age, took her salary and she gave it to feed the poor of Pingtu. She withdrew from the Bank of Shanghai all that she had and gave her savings to feed the Christians of Pingtu. She also learned what became the greatest heartbreak of her life, that she herself was living on borrowed money by the Southern Baptist Foreign Mission Board in Richmond, Virginia. And she fell into the strangest kind of sickness. No one could discover what was making her so ill, why she was so sick, why she wasn't recovering. And so they sent for, and a doctor came, and he took one look at her. And he said, she is starving to death. If her Christians at Pingtu were starving, then she would starve with them. And if the Southern Baptist Foreign Mission Board could not raise enough money to support her, she refused to live on borrowed money. it was decided then that they needed to send her back to America, and there was a nurse by the name of Cynthia Miller whose furlough was due, and both of them were placed on a ship. And as that ship stopped at Kobe, Japan, frail Lottie Moon, 72 years of age, 40 years a missionary in China, lying in her berth on the ship, began to speak and to clasp and unclasp her hands in a Chinese greeting. And Miss Cynthia Miller, who was there, listened to see what was said, and she was greeting old Chinese friends whom she had known in Pingtu and Tingchao. And thus, with a greeting in the name of a beloved Chinese friend upon her lips, she slipped away to be with her Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on Christmas Eve, December 24th, 1912. According to the laws of Japan, she had to be cremated. The ashes were lovingly brought back by Miss Miller across the sea. And there in Albemarle County, she was buried. A little marble stone at the head of the grave writes her name and the date, 1840 to 1912, and the words missionary of the Southern Baptist Convention to China for 40 years, then underneath, faithful unto death. In the church, there is a window dedicated to her. There is a picture of a woman in flowing robes walking through sheaves of ripened grain, her left hand clasping to her breast the Word of God, and her right hand holding high a flaming torch. And underneath the Great Commission, go ye therefore into all the world and teach all nations. You know, for 3 years, the Christians in Tingchao, poor as they were, kept gathering money to buy a little marble slab they placed at the home where she lived, with her name and the date and the words, "The Tingchao Church shall remember forever." Will we? In the movie City of Joy, a medical student is astounded with the overwhelming poverty of Calcutta. A woman confronts him with one of three choices. You can run, you can watch, or you can commit to getting involved with compassionate response. I think about legacy. I think about those who've come before. You see, we're here today because we're still in the race. But as I keep reminding us all time and again, we all in the NFL, not for long. But those three choices are ours today. In the giving to the foreign mission offering for Lottie Moon, but also in our feet and in our hands and our mouths, we too can run up and down like a missionary up and down the valley. We too can get into our community. We too can speak to our family, because Lord knows you all got lost in your family just like I do. The key is, do you want to be used for God's glory? What are people going to say of you when you're gone? Will they say, well, he ran. She just watched. Or will they say of this church, they got compassionately and passionately involved, doing all they could to bring souls to the kingdom? What are they going to say of us when we're gone? Father, thank you for Lottie Moon. Thank you for a life that was lived simply for your glory. Lord, thank you for a life that was lived by a gentle servant. She didn't thump her chest and well up in pride and say, look what I've done. No, never been about us. Father, she just pointed the way to Jesus. And because she was pointing the way to Jesus, Lord, you just used her for your glory. May that same thing be said of us. And I just wonder, as I close this service here this morning, what has to change in your life that you can be used for the glory of God? Now, don't give me the age thing or somebody else thing. Those are nothing more than excuses. Lord, I pray we don't do that. I just pray this morning that if we've not been all that in a box of rocks, that we'll come forward and kneel at this altar and ask God to light a fire under us. That old saying still true, Lord, you don't ask me to win the whole world, you just ask me to go out and reach my one. Each one reach one. And Lord, in each of our paths, you have put people who need Jesus Christ. Would you help us this week to go out and reach our one, that our church would be just a little bit fuller next week and the week after and the week after that. Oh God, I pray your abundant mercies upon each and every one of us. May we be found being about our Father's business. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.